alive in the flesh.
Amen. You can be seated, all right? Well, it's good to be with you today. You saved?
Amen.
Now let me ask you a second question. Are you right with God? You can be saved and still not be right with God. And if you're not right with God, then why aren't you right with God? You can be. Amen. Well, I'm so glad to be with you today. It's a privilege and a joy just to be home, I guess I'd say, really. In those times we have been here, those years that we're here together. And I'm thankful for Brother Shepherd allowing me to be with you today. You pray for us tonight. I'll travel back and come back. Unless the Lord changed my mind, it may be more rambling tonight, but I'd like to try to preach on tonight, precious memories.
Amen.
Precious. Amen. A lot of memories. Of yesteryear and days gone by that we've seen God do here at the house of God. It's wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful part of my life. Amen. Exodus chapter number 33 this morning. I wasn't really going to go this direction, but God spoke to my heart out of Romans chapter 2 about a verse. And so I had began to think about what I had preached a couple of months ago that kind of went along with that thought and is actually one of the verses I'll use today. But you know, we might as well admit, we really don't like change. We're creatures of habit. When things take a different direction, sometimes it kind of messes us up a little bit. It throws us off and we really don't like change, but things change. Whether we want to admit it or not, people change. Sometimes for the good. Sometimes not so good. People talk to you one day, the next day they won't fellowship with you. You wonder why, what changed? People change. Circumstances change. A lot of things in our life are going to change throughout the course of this life. But there's one thing that will not change. The Lord said, I'm the Lord thy God. And I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. So we can rest assured on that. My life may change tomorrow. And it has over the course of the last month or so. Some things have changed. Good changes. But everything doesn't always remain the same. The Word of God will never change. God promised. He said, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. So that's kind of the thought I want to go in, the direction I want to go in this morning. As we look into Exodus chapter 33, you know the story. Moses is talking to the Lord. Moses has been given divine instruction. He is going to lead God's people. And he is leading them out in this journey. Now, as we get into chapter 33, and we start in verse number 12, let's look and see what the Bible says. You have your Bible this morning? Amen. Verse 12 says, And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. You know, God don't always send somebody with you to go. Sometimes God just gives you direction and lets you know what to do. But God don't always send. But Moses is saying, you didn't send nobody with me. Amen. Yet, thou hast said, I know thee by name. And thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight. He's asking three different questions. And consider that this nation is thy people. Verse 14. And he said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For herein shall it be known that here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight. Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth? And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken. For thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. Now here's what he said. Verse 18, he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Think about this. Moses is asking a direct question of God. God, I've been entitled and tasked to do this job. I don't want to do it alone. But God said, my presence is going to go with you. He said, Lord, I want to see your glory. May I say to you this morning that God don't always give you what you ask for. But he does give you what you need. Sometimes you don't know what to ask for. We ask amiss. We want this done. We're asking this petition of God. And God says, no, that's not what's best for you. But we think it is. Sometimes God don't answer that way. Moses said, Lord, I want to see your glory. Here's what the Lord said. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and I will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. So Moses said, Lord, I want to see your glory. God says, you can't see my glory and handle it. But I'm going to pass by, and my glory is going to pass by, but I'm going to cover your face. And as I pass by, because you can't handle my glory, as I pass by, I'll remove my hand. And what I want you to see of me is not my glory, because that's not what you need to make it through the journey. Are you hearing me? It's not the glory of God that you need to see to make it through this journey. But it is my goodness that I want you to see. God said, I'll pass by you in all my glory, but you're not going to see it. And as I cover your face, I'll put you in the cleft of the rock. And as I pass by, I'll pull my hand away. And what I want you to see is not my glory, but my goodness. Amen. And I'd preached on this a little while back, talking about we don't need his glory, we need his goodness. Don't misunderstand what I just said. I'm thankful for the glory when it comes down. But it is the goodness of God that's going to lead me all the way. Amen. Keep that in mind. We need his goodness. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you again for the day. I thank you for the testimonies that have been given, and what a joy it has been to hear those talking about the goodness of God. Thankful today for the Word of God. I pray that you would help us. May it be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. May the will of God be accomplished today, Father, and we'll surely thank you and praise for all that's done. Help us, I pray. Touch me to preach. Lord, meet every need today. Save the backslider, God. I pray that somebody today would get thoroughly right with you. Somebody be born again. I pray your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So I thought about God's goodness, and I'll mention some of that tonight as well. But God don't always give you what you ask for, but He does give you exactly what you need. Amen. So in the work of God, as we look in verse 14, Moses is being prepared to do a job he cannot do by himself. He's already said, I don't want to do it by myself. I want somebody to go with me. And thank God for the company of the fellowship of the saints. But it's not always that way. But God said, for the work that I have for you, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And thank God for his presence. Amen. Thank God that he said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. I'll go with you all the way. So in the work of God, we see his goodness go before us. We see his goodness go with us. We see his goodness come behind us. And we cannot stand up and testify without saying, it's been the goodness of God that has led me all the way. Amen. I'm thankful for that today. You'll rejoice in that this morning, that God has been good to you and your family. Remember I said the Lord doesn't change, but yet we do. Our circumstances change. We deal with things on a daily basis we've never faced before, but God never changes. Amen. And you want to thank God that He doesn't change, that He remains the same. Amen. So in the work of God, He's not going to change. That goodness will go before us and will be with us and follow us in this journey. I'm thankful for that. Hallelujah. We couldn't do it without His presence. We thank God for His presence. But I want to say we ought to worship Him as well because of His goodness. Turn to Psalm chapter 107. Psalm 107 this morning. Dealing with the goodness of God. And by the way, somebody once said, God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. Amen. Psalm 107, the psalmist is exhorting the Lord. He is lifting up the Lord. He said, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. When he get down to verse number 8, he said, oh, that men would praise the Lord, not for His glory. He said, for His goodness. Amen. Amen. And for His wonderful works to the children of men. He goes on, and you ought to read this chapter. He just relives what God had done for them in days gone by. Amen. Verse 15, he said, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness. Amen. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. He goes on in verse number 21. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Amen. I like those next verses, 23 down to 29. And 29 said, He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So He bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. We praise Him and worship Him because of His goodness. Who of us can stand and say this one that God has not been good to us? Listen, I said this the other day. I think last night, maybe talking to Wendy or the day before. I said, we make choices in life. Correct? God lets you make those choices. Whether they be good or bad, God will let you make them. But you do not choose the consequences. So when we go off in sin, we make that choice. But you don't choose the consequences of that sin. God does. That does not change the goodness of God, because God can be nothing but good. Amen. He is just. He's holy. He's righteous. but He's good. Amen. So we ought to worship Him because of His goodness. When we stand, you ought to stand up and testify. Stand up and say, I want to thank God for being so good to me. And all that God has done, I want to thank Him today for His goodness. Amen. I'll tell you, been saved almost 35 years. July will be 35. It had been so long ago that I can't remember His goodness to me. Long hair, earrings, just wild, lost. I was doing what a lost man does. I was living like a lost man would live. God, during that time, we knew nothing about God. The only time we talked about God was when we took His name in vain. We didn't go to church. I wasn't brought up in church. I grew up with my grandparents. They didn't go to church. I didn't go to church. Oh, sometimes the bus would come by and they'd pick us up for vacation Bible school and we'd go. They led me into prayer when I was 11, but it wasn't real. They told me it was. Nothing changed. It wasn't long we got married. Both lived that kind of lifestyle. Wasn't long in the marriage, I said, I'm through. I'm done. I won't be back. I found somebody else. I'm done. Here's a divorce paper, sign them. I won't be back. That's what I said, wasn't it? Took them to her, she said, I'm not signing them. God was at work. Here's what didn't make no sense to me. I was doing exactly what I wanted to do. I was spending my money on exactly what I wanted to spend it on. I'd go where I want to. I'd do exactly what I wanted. Everything I wanted to do, I was doing. But there was no contentment and was no satisfaction. There was no joy and no peace. I come back home first week of December, stay gone a month and a half. Horrible. First week of December, I come home. Try to make the marriage work. We didn't know nothing. Church wasn't even an option. We didn't even think about church. So I said, let's go to a marriage counselor. So we found... We didn't know at the time. He was a Christian, him and his wife. We'd go to them. And I told my wife during those days, I said, well, it helps. It has helped. But something's still missing. I don't know what it is. And I don't know how to get it. But something's missing. I remember saying those words. He said, I think I've done all I can for y'all. In March, we go to Naples, Florida to visit a grandmother. We're expecting our first child at this time. Home's on the rocks. It's a mess. We're trying to figure out just life, how to make this thing work. We don't even know how. We travel 16 hours from Bowling Green. God's at work. God's goodness was working. I didn't know it. Had no idea. We got down there, and the grandma lives in a trailer park. We stay with her all week. In the middle of that trailer park, I think it was Maplewood Trailer Park. I don't know. I can't remember. But there's a church right in the middle of the trailer park. They all retire, and they all go to church there at that church. The grandmother said, our preacher and his wife, they're leaving, and we're having a big fellowship dinner for them, and we want y'all to come. I said, I'm not going. I'm not going. They said they was going. I said, I'm not going. I'm too busy drinking and smoking and carrying on. I said, why do I need to go? I'm not going. But I went. Several hundred people there in the fellowship. I don't remember everything that went on. I remember some people standing up and testifying. I don't know what they said, but the goodness of God started to work. Man, I broke on the inside, but I said, I'm not crying. I'm going to swallow. But nobody's going to see me cry. So I just swallowed gallons of tears that day. I go back home. It didn't stop, Brother Robert. I'd lay down in the bed at night, and God started speaking to my heart. Not an audible voice, but that still small voice. I tell him no. I say, no, Lord, I can't do it. No, I'm afraid I can't. I won't serve you. I just tell him no. The next night, I'd lay down in the bed. I'd go to sleep, and there he was again. The same voice. James, I love you. And on and on, and I'd say, no, Lord. No, I can't. I won't. No. That went on for several days. I didn't tell her what God was doing, but the goodness of God was working. She said one day, she said, I'm going to start going to church. But where in the world did that come from? I'm going to bring up our baby in a Christian home. That was funny because neither one of us were saved. She said, I'm going to go to church. She said, you know, if I was to die today, I'd go to hell. That's what she told me. Never thought about that. Only time we ever talked about it. Wasn't long, July the 15th, a Saturday. My wife said, why don't you call your cousin and find out what time church is tomorrow? So I called him up. He said, 11 o'clock. He said, we'll be there. We go. There in the service, I've got the cassette tape at home in my dresser. I've got it actually on my phone. I can listen to it anytime, the full service, July the 16th, 1989. I go back many times and just remember. Amen. Remember some things. During that service, Brother Richard Olin preached out of Daniel chapter 2. He said, there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets. During that message, God spoke. That still small voice that spoke a while back spoke again. This time he said, son, you're a sinner. And I agreed with him. You're exactly right. I didn't know that. I knew I was bad. I didn't know I was a sinner. But that day, God turned the light on and said, son, you're a sinner. I agreed with him. Preacher kept on preaching. I'm crying through the whole service, Brother Ricky. I'm weeping. My wife would elbow me and she'd say, quit crying. You're going to make me cry. I said, I can't help it. I can't help it. Boy, it wasn't long, that still small voice spoke again. Said, son, I'm the Savior. And I came to seek and to save that which was lost. During that service, I didn't know anything about what an invitation was. I had no idea. But during that service, I surrendered. I said, Lord, it's amazing who I knew I was talking to. Lord, I'm turning from sin. It's amazing I knew what the problem was. I'm turning from sin. I'm turning to you today. If you'll have me, I'm here. The Bible said that Jesus received sinners. And I got received that day. I didn't know what you called it. I couldn't have told you if I was born again. I couldn't have said I was justified. I couldn't have told you if I was redeemed. I couldn't have said any of that. So the best way I knew how when we left that morning, oh, I still got long hair, gold chain, earrings, but that won't last long. And I walked out the back door, and I told my wife, I said, I feel clean. I feel like I've taken a bath on the inside. Amen. I feel clean. Feels good to be clean, don't it? And then I couldn't explain it to her, but the goodness of God was working. And I said, well, the sky looks so blue today. Bluer than I've ever seen it. Somehow the leaves on the trees, man, they look so green. It's amazing. I don't understand it. Everything looks different. You know why it looked different? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself and given to us a ministry of reconciliation, to wit, God was in Christ Jesus, reconciled the world to himself. I got born again. I don't know what you called it, but it made a change. All that happened because my cousin and his wife had been praying for us for 4 years. I didn't know that until much later. Said, oh, we had a great burden for you and your wife. And every night we would get ready for bed and we'd kneel down and pray for you that God would work in your heart and God would save you and change your life. That was the goodness of God is what that was. Oh, I'm thankful. That's why we raise our hands and say, thank you, Lord. That's why we stand up and shout and praise his name, because of his goodness. You've got every right in the world to praise him today. You just don't. And that's your choice. But we're going to praise him because of his goodness, as the psalmist said in chapter 107. Amen. Romans chapter 2. This was the verse that came to my mind and my heart the other day. Romans chapter 2. It's dealing with judgment and judging and so on. Judging others. Paul writing to these Jews, these Romans. He said, therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. See, the Pharisees were real good about one thing. They were real good about judging everybody else by the law, but they themselves would not adhere to it. Like what he said a while ago, oh, they look down their nose at everybody. And what he said was right. If you're not careful, you'll get so much like the Pharisees that when people walk in that are not dressed right, that'll be the only thing you're concerned about is their dress. When they come in all tatted up and pierced up, they're just living like a lost person. That's all. The boys the other night at church, we had a visitor come. She wasn't dressed very good. And the boys had said some of the other boys were talking about her. I said, has it ever occurred to you that she's got a soul? Instead of worrying about her clothes, why don't you worry about her soul? Because if God will save her soul, he'll change her clothes. So you got it all mixed up. We're so worried about that. We want to get them dressed up and get them looking good and all that. No, we want to get them saved. Romans chapter 2, all right. So here's what he said. He goes on down in verse 4. He says this, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. It was the goodness of God that led you to the place where you made a choice. You chose to accept him as your Savior, or you chose not to. Nevertheless, it was the goodness of God that brought you to that place. Amen. That is a work of salvation. Amen. We rejoice because of his goodness. Listen, he sought you out. You didn't seek him. No, he sought you. God drew you with cords of love. Showed you as a sinner. Then you started seeking him. But he sought you. Amen. He's the one that sought you. He's the one that caught you. Amen. And hedged you up and brought you to that place of repentance. The psalmist said, he brought me out of a horrible pit. And it was horrible. Being lost, it's horrible. But being found is good. Amen. Amen. He brought us out. So let me say a couple of things. I'll be through Galatians chapter 5. Look there with me if you will. Galatians 5. We cannot deny that God has not been good to us. He has been good all along this journey. We have failed Him and sinned against Him and brought shame to His name, but He has never failed us. You know why? Because He can't fail. Amen. Galatians chapter 5. Here's what God give us when we got the Spirit of God, when we got saved. 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Amen. That's what God give you. Love, joy, and peace. Long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. And part of that was goodness. God gave us something we didn't have. Amen. Something we didn't deserve and something you can't work to get is by faith. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 9. Ephesians chapter 5. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. You can't get away from His goodness. Amen. I wrote this down. His goodness, let you read it, all right, so you'll know. His goodness is all around us. Let me prove that to you. Psalm chapter 23. You know this chapter, small chapter. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Verse 6. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So in that verse, His goodness, I said, in everything I do, I'm followed by His goodness in the will of God. Amen. That ought to make you rejoice because of His goodness. Everything I do in the will of God, I'm surrounded by the goodness of God. On my left hand, on my right hand, before me and behind me is the goodness of God. Do you believe that? Amen. It's true. Amen. Surrounded by His goodness. Psalm chapter 27. Let's see what that says. Psalm 27 and verse number 13. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So not only everything I do, I'm surrounded by His goodness, but everything you go through, you're surrounded by His goodness. Be a horrible God to serve that just saved us and left us to ourselves. But He didn't leave you to yourself. He put something in you called the Spirit of God that dwells in you richly. And as you go through this walk of life, rest assured, He goes with you all the way. So you're not going through your problem by yourself. No, He's there. You're not in it all alone because He's there. Amen. God's too good to do us wrong. You may make wrong decisions, but thank God for His goodness and His mercy and His long suffering in your sin. He's still long suffering, and that is, my friend, the goodness of God. Everything I do, I'm surrounded by His goodness. Everything I go through, I'm surrounded by His goodness. Amen. That's why I give songs in the night. You ever been so broken and so overwhelmed and you feel like you can't hold your head up and you want to quit, and you want to give up, and you want to give in, somewhere out of nowhere, there's a song that comes. What is that? That's the goodness of God. Amen. He knows where you're at. He's brought you this far by faith. Will He not see you through it? One of the great Christian writers said, if God has brought you to it, God will bring you through it. Some situations are for our learning and for our education and for our growing in grace. We cannot deny that. We may not like it. We may not have asked for it. But God says, you need this. I'm preparing you for some. You need this. Sometimes we go through things because of our sin. We just have to endure. But God says, I'm not going to leave you in the fiery furnace by yourself. I'm going to go with you. Amen. Chapter 33, Psalm 33, verse number 5. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. You're just not taking time to look around and see it. See, I never looked at the sky and thought about how blue it looked. Never looked at the leaves on the trees. Said, my, they look so green today. But when I got born again, everything had changed. I went outside. I saw how good God was. I couldn't explain it. Did the best I knew how. God is good. Amen. Amen. All right. Goodness goes with you. Goodness goes before you. Goodness comes behind you. We would have to say we're surrounded by the goodness of God. Amen. Goodness stays with you. Amen. All the days of our life, through good and bad. Amen. And then one day, that grace will take me all the way home. And that goodness, amen, carries me through. When I can't carry myself, it's the goodness of God that'll carry me through. Amen. Lift up your head, O weary pilgrim, for our time is drawing nigh. Jesus might come today. What burden is it that you're carrying that He can't take care of? Some of you here this morning, not right with God. Your attitude's not right. Your heart's not right. Some may not even be saved today. It's the goodness of God that extends a hand of mercy. Amen. And long suffering. Listen, we are bad about this. We've been saved so long, we are very critical. You might as well say amen to me because I'm telling the truth. We've been saved so long, we are very critical of others. When they sin, do we pray for them? Or we just say, well, I knew they was going to mess up. I just knew it. Very critical. But just remember that when you was in sin, that same goodness that worked in your life is working in theirs. We may not want to see it, may not like where they're at, but we have to remember that that same goodness that worked in you is working in them. And God is long-suffering. How long? I don't know. But long-suffering is a long time. I realize there's a time where God says, I'm done. But God's long-suffering. So when they mess up, they don't do right, and they leave and act a fool and all kinds of crazy stuff, just remember, God's long-suffering. God can work in their life. We have no reason to sit around and talk and complain and murmur about a brother. We should pray, say, God, be merciful to them. God, draw them back. Lord, may the long suffering of God work in their life and bring them back to that place of repentance. God's good. Amen. You pray for us tonight. Lord, help me, all right? Let's stand together. Let's pray. Father, I thank you again for the Word of God. Thank you how you've worked in our hearts in these days. And Lord, where we failed you and sinned against you, God, we pray you'd forgive us and help us. Lord, we love you today. And we are thankful for the goodness of God that has worked in our midst and also here in this place. Lord, help us during the invitation hour. There's some here today, God, need to just be honest with God and say, I'm not right. I'm not right with God. I'm not right with my brother. I'm not right with my sister. And Lord, make things right today. Some may need to come and be saved today. God, would you open their eyes and their heart to be receptive to the goodness of God. Lord, we ask only that your will be accomplished in the invitation. We'll thank you and praise you for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen. Amen. Amen.